Welcome to Let's Talk Real Estate. I'm your host, Anna Olsisi, serial entrepreneur, passionate marketer, and owner at Segway Group at Keller Williams Realty, Gainesville. On the podcast, you will find valuable information about all things real estate, plus some fun stories told by a variety of guests. So if you like what you hear, then subscribe and invite any friends who you think may get some value from listening. Hello and welcome to this week's episode. We are talking Nashville today. We are talking the very hot Nashville market. It is the home of country music and SEC football for sure, but it also has a very booming housing market these days. Despite anything else that might be going on in the country, it is hot, hot, hot in Nashville. So today we've got Brandon Carver over in Century 21 at West Main Realty and Auction, which I believe is like in the heart of Nashville. And Brandon is a native of the area and he knows all about what's going on in the market. So welcome, Brandon. How are you?
Hi, Anna. I'm well. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Absolutely. Did I describe all that accurately?
Yeah, you did. Century 21 is actually in a suburb of Nashville called Lebanon. I grew up in the area, which is one reason that I stay brokered there, but have just a great team working there. I grew up in Lebanon, like I say, and do a good bit of business on the outskirts of town, but I live in Nashville. So actually the majority of my business is here. So I've kind of got a split personality when it comes to brokerages.
Right. Well, I mean, that's almost in any city. People, you know, talk about the city itself, but it's usually the suburbs around it that really make up most of what people consider a specific metro area. I'm from Miami. It was like kind of the same thing right now, even Gainesville. I'm in the outskirts right now of Gainesville, but we do most of our business in the city. Is Nashville super spread out? Like Atlanta, I don't know if you're familiar with Atlanta and the way that is, but is it like that?
You have more of a concentrated metropolitan area here in Nashville. Pretty quickly, it tapers off into more suburban or rural areas. But we are seeing that, beginning to see that kind of grow outward, which, you know, our community is all very excited about. So,
yeah.
You know, we, of course, have the traffic to come along with that. Of course, COVID-19 has put a bit of a damper on that, which I think traffic is one of the few things we've welcomed from COVID or lack thereof. But yeah, we are starting to see some growth. The southeast and sort of northeast parts of town are pretty well populated, and we're beginning to see a lot of growth out west, northwest, southwest areas of Nashville. So it's very exciting times here.
Excellent. And so since you have grown up in that entire area, what have you seen, you know, in the last, I could touch on the last 20, but maybe you're just too young to really give me a good assessment of the past 20 years, but maybe 10, 5 years. Is it anything like what's going on in many other metro areas throughout the country?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you mentioned a lot of good things about Nashville when you opened, but I do think one thing that has made Nashville very strong and robust to any sort of economic change and something that has grown over time has just been the different pillars of industry we have here. We're a huge healthcare hub, as you well know, a huge music hub. We've got SEC football. We've got a huge tourism industry. And I think that's one thing that Nashville has done so well is having diversified their pillars of industry. And so we're in a situation right now where tourism is not as hot as it was pre-COVID, but we fortunately have these other pillars to help support the city through this time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really reflective in the home values being unaffected largely by COVID. But yeah, over the last probably 5 or 10 years, Nashville has just become so hot of a place to live, especially for people moving out of places like New York City or San Francisco, Los Angeles, Chicago, any of the big cities. You can get a similar feel here in Nashville with just a touch more of Southern hospitality for a lot more bang for your buck, we'll say, getting down here in the South.
Definitely. I read somewhere that median home prices there are probably in like mid 200 price point. Would that be true?
I'm actually looking at the stat right now. We are hitting right around 300 on a median home value. Yeah, that's according to Zillow.
Wow, wow. So that certainly has spiked, I guess, fairly recently. Would you say that some people are moving there like now because of COVID to just get that more, you know, bang for your buck, big city feel in a more southern kind of location, even though it's still, you know, gets cold there and everything. Are you seeing that recently?
Yeah. You know, just this morning I was on the phone with a buyer's agent. I've got a listing in an area here in Nashville called the Gulch, which is just a really, it's kind of the hot urban area of town. The potential buyer that's looking at it is a lady from California. And it's just what you mentioned. It's being able to get out of these large cities, which I think are experiencing a lot of economic problems due to some of the policies and the shutdowns, coming to Nashville, where that may still be the case to a degree, but you can just get so much more value for the money you spend here. So yeah, we're seeing a lot of out-of-towners come through. And even more so than that lately, Anna, is we're seeing a lot of people in the metro Nashville area who live in smaller homes. Their whole lives have changed, especially if they have children. So now you might have where before you may have had two people and two children living in 1,500 square feet. Mom and dad, or mom and mom, or dad and dad go to work every day. The kids go to school. And now you're seeing where everybody's at home. And so we're seeing a lot of people wanting to get rid of their smaller homes in the metropolitan area and get out into these outskirts, which kind of support what I was talking about earlier, these growing suburban areas around Nashville. People's priorities are shifting right now, as I'm sure you've maybe noticed as a theme in some of your other conversations.
Right. A couple of weeks ago, we did speak with somebody who's over in New York City, which luckily the situation isn't as dire as everybody's saying it is. So that makes, you know, that makes me happy because you want that economy to keep going. But she was saying how people are really focusing more on Brooklyn because you can get more bang for your buck. I mean, relative to New York City, which is like not even close to bang for your buck here in the South. But, you get more bang for your buck. You get a bigger, you get a yard, you get green space. And, and so that's what's making people really reevaluate where they're living. And I would imagine Nashville, very much like Gainesville, you do have backyards and you do have space. And particularly in those outskirts, you know, the further west you go, we're having the same exact experience with the westward expansion here in Gainesville, where, you know, you just can get a nice big house, brand new house, in a community, and especially now with what you were saying, to your point, you know, everybody at home all at once, you want the kids to be able to go outside. So.
Well, absolutely. If we're going to be stuck at home all day, we might as well be able to look around and look at something pretty is what I'm telling clients.
Yep. For sure. Now, something I did hear about Nashville, and maybe this has changed a little bit, is that you're getting an influx of younger people. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, we are seeing a lot of growth in a lot of the same pillars that I mentioned earlier, but particularly in creative industries. Nashville has become such a wonderful place for startups to begin new businesses. We're seeing a lot of tech come into the area. So yeah, with growth in the stereotypically younger industries, we are seeing, a lot of people come to Nashville for those jobs. And we also have a number of universities in the area. We've got Vanderbilt, Belmont, Lipscomb, Middle Tennessee State University, Austin Peay State University. So the city itself is producing a lot of young professionals that have grown to love this area and want to stay here. We have always been a young city, but we're seeing that even more lately.
Yep. As a parent of a kid in college, I know that a lot of her classmates really wanted to go to Nashville. Two did, and so that's great. and so they're really, really happy. And that's just the vibe. You know, the vibe that I hear is going on in Nashville, or has been for a little bit of time now, is the whole younger, trendier kind of place to live if you're going to stay in the South. You know, because a lot of, I realize like places like Austin are in the south but really it's out west. it's a little different. It's wonderful to be able to have that, still have that Southern feel and yet bigger city. That's not as overwhelming as an Atlanta would be.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Well, because we're just seeing such a cool slice out of the South here in Nashville. I mean, like I say, you've got a lot of creative folks living here and the city is really keeping up. I mean, it pre-COVID and we're starting to see them kind of get back to this cadence, but I mean, not a 2-week period went by that some sort of new bar or restaurant wasn't opening up. You can get 30 minutes out of the city and see some of the most beautiful waterfalls and forests that you've ever seen. So there's just a lot that this city has to offer. And there are still home prices that behoove most young people. It's just kind of a win-win.
Right, right. You've mentioned some of the great things that are going on. Are there any challenges right now that you're experiencing there in that market?
I wasn't prepared for that question. You know, really, none that I can really think of, Anna. I mean, it's a pretty happy place for the market right now.
That's great.
You know, we've got a lot of supply of new builds, mm-hmm. which can make home sales, you know, for homes that were built in like 2016, 2017, 2018, It can sort of make that a hard sale,
sure.
when there are so many options, new build options available, because with that, you obviously get brand new materials. You get a 1-year builder's warranty here in Tennessee. That's really the only challenge that I have run into, fortunately.
Yeah. And that's fine. That's to not have too many challenges. A lot of places that are experiencing this massive growth are having these inventory shortages with both existing inventory and new construction, which is really it's something that's going on here. And mm-hmm. so to not have that in Nashville and to be able to just move there, get something brand new, have that supply on hand is a huge advantage for anybody who needs to relocate there pretty quickly.
And I'll add, you know, supply and demand here is very regional. You know, there are areas of town, much like any city, there are areas of town that are really difficult to get into. People mm-hmm. are holding on to their homes. But then there are places, particularly in the outskirts, where it's really easy to enter because of all of the new builds that are going up. So it's just, mm-hmm. it really is just area specific.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I did experience that. I know I keep going back to Atlanta, but it's my other reference point. So when I lived there in the mid-90s, that was the same thing, right? As you kept going north, you were able to get a little bit more bang for your buck, but you were further from city center. And I realize that's like pretty common anywhere, although it's a little bit different here in Gainesville, interestingly. So go figure. So you mentioned people holding on to their homes, which of course, if they're going up in value, why wouldn't they go, you know, hold on to them? Do you see a lot of people leaving? Is it because there's the university or the universities and medical centers and even the startup scene? Are people leaving or are people just staying and the population's just growing?
I am not hearing a lot of people leave Nashville. Kind of as mentioned, what we are seeing is relocating to different parts of Nashville. But yeah, okay. It is rare that I will speak with somebody wanting to list their home and they are going somewhere else. And if they are, it's typically due to some sort of a, you know, unchangeable event, like a job change or a family sure. situation has changed. But yeah, electively, I am not noticing very many people wanting to leave the area, which we're thrilled about.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. Absolutely. It's probably fueled just by the quality of life and mm-hmm. All the opportunities available to people there in Nashville. What is the tax situation like? Are property taxes incredibly reasonable compared to other parts of the country?
We do. So Tennessee is an interesting state when it comes to tax. You have to sort of take a comprehensive approach when looking at our tax system. Mm-hmm. Tennessee is one of the few states that does not have an income tax. Mm-hmm. We do have a pretty high sales tax. It's 9.25%. And for the same reason, or kind of to fit in with all of that, our property taxes, particularly in Davidson County, which is where Nashville is located, have historically been low. Now, they did this year pass a 36% increase for next year, and that is alarming. But there are also some efforts in place, and I'm not sure that I should really speak on this because I'm not an expert in this space, but I do hear there are some efforts to try to rethink that approach. But, you know, what's happening with this, a city that relies heavily on tax revenues from people out of state tourism? Well, tourism is down. We've got to make up that deficit some sort of way. So that's kind of where we are from a tax perspective right now, sort of uncharted waters.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, and it's still good to know, though, if property taxes are low, even if they're going up 36%, maybe it's not as high as people may perceive that to be. It's still going to be lower than in other parts of the country where they're just super
high. I would say, yeah, and I don't remember the statistic, but I will say that I read in several places that even with the 36% hike in property taxes, we are still well below averages in other similar metropolitan areas. So I don't have the quotes or the stats to quote you.
That
is what I have heard, at least. I haven't familiarized myself with other markets well enough.
Right, right. Well, because I work relocation so much, I do hear about all the other markets across the country. And in general, the southern states, with the exception of Florida, have lower property taxes, you know, like their counties have lower property taxes. So, but like Tennessee, we don't have an income tax here in Florida. Mm-hmm. So that is a giant advantage. But combine that with lower property taxes in the county itself, you get so much more as a result when you're really deciding on what you can spend. Have the mortgage rates also fueled this? I mean, are things just going crazy because, you know, the rates are so low?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, back toward in the summer, it was hard. It was so difficult. A lot of the lenders were quoting 45-50-day closes just to all the, you know, all the business they were doing. Refinancing, obviously, as I'm sure you saw in Florida, was just super hot. It was near impossible to get an appraisal back in time. We're finally beginning to see some leveling in that. And yeah, I'm seeing clients left and right just get killer deals on the money that they're borrowing. So yeah, that's certainly a big fueler to what's going on here.
That's wonderful. Excellent. Excellent. So I just want to know, like, for example, if I get a good mortgage rate and I want to move to Tennessee, I'm not doing that, but if someone I know is, you know, like somebody from here gets a job, at Vanderbilt and they want to buy a $300,000 home in one of these, you know, high in demand or maybe even near Vanderbilt. I don't know how it works there in terms of what the housing is like near the major university. So what could they get for that? What could they get for something like $300,000? Is it like 4-bedroom, 3-bath, or is it like 2-bedroom, 1-bath?
If you're getting into, for your, you know, to play to your example of getting near Vanderbilt University, for $300,000, you are most likely looking at a condo.
Okay.
A condo with a decently significant HOA fee. And you could probably get into 2-3-bedroom territory for that amount, something maybe a little bit older. Now, on the flip side, you go to, say, an Ashland City, which is an area of town west that is really becoming popular with younger people in particular. You're looking at a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, new build home, quartzite granite countertops. You're looking at some nice stuff. So there is a pretty large disparity going from the city center suburban areas.
What are the lot sizes? I mean, are these like patio homes where you can touch your neighbor or?
Yeah, it all depends on the builder, which of course, you know, we're seeing homes getting closer and closer together because for a lot of builders, it's about that bottom line. How many homes can we fit into this area, as it should be? You know, this is an investment for them. They want to make as much money as they can from it. But we're typically in like a $300,000 range. In particular, outskirts of Nashville, you're looking at like a 1/4 acre or even sometimes a little less.
Still, that's not bad. That's really not bad. You know, we see like 0.11 acre or even 0.10 acre for maybe even a little bit more than that for 3-2. So it, even in the outskirts. So that's really interesting.
And I think expectation here is to have a little bit of yard. You know, people are less interested in a front yard because it's just something to sit there and you have to mow. But right. as far as a backyard space, yeah, most people in this area, especially on the outskirts of Nashville, expect some sort of a lawn situation in the back. Nothing huge because all of a sudden our lives are so busy and we don't want to take care of all of these things that, you know, our parents and grandparents put pride and value into. We're all very busy, right? We're working to try to pay for these things.
Definitely. That's actually, I'm glad you pointed that out because we're seeing more and more of that too, where people just don't want that much land. Mm-hmm. Rarely do we get the, oh, I'd like, you know, 5 acres and all of these other things. And it's like, oh, wow. Okay. That's becoming unusual.
Oh yeah. Well, and I'll add to Anna, a lot of what is going on more in the metropolitan area. And I don't know if you're seeing this in Gainesville, but a lot of investors are purchasing a single home, you know, maybe built in the '30s, forties, fifties, sixties, tearing that down and then building 2 or sometimes even 4 and turning that into what is called a horizontal property regime, an HPR. We're seeing lots of that going on in Nashville. Some are attached, some are detached homes. But yeah, it's interesting to see that happening.
That is very interesting. And that probably, I mean, that helps definitely fuel the economy in that particular area. We're not seeing that. We have a lot of restrictions. And so they kind of want to scale back on extreme development and on land use. So it's typically if you're going to do any kind of extensive renovation or tear it down, you're going to build a single family home right back on that lot. And it's definitely, it's a good thing. Does it add to the affordability of the property, or are they just jacking up the prices because these are brand new builds in great areas or like very convenient areas?
They're not cheap. Let's just say that.
Right. Okay.
And you know, it just depends on how you look at it. You know, in one sense, it's driving up the value of a neighborhood.
Sure.
And it's a great environment for investors. I think the long-term effects are still to be determined. That really picked up sort of in 2015, 2016 is when you began seeing a lot of the HPRs going up. Tall skinnies, as we call them.
I like that. Tall skinnies. That makes me think of San Francisco or something, you know, where you've got like the vertical homes like all stuck together.
Right. So, yeah. Hey, I just wish somebody would say that about me.
I hear you, man, for sure. Don't we all? So very, very interesting, you know, what's going on there. In terms of investments, I'm glad you even touched on that because I know that you have some history of that and know about the investment market with prices possibly, you know, going higher right now. Are you seeing any kind of good investment opportunities?
I will say it can be a difficult time for sort of a loan investor to take on something like that. Mm-hmm. Of course, any sort of property, any sort of fixer-upper property that makes it to the MLS is priced accordingly. So that obviously would cut into one's bottom line. I'll tell you, the investors that are seeing incredible success in the area are the investors that are knocking on doors. They're sending out mailers. They're even sending you something in the mail with an offer on your home already. It has gotten so competitive here in Nashville. That is really what it takes. I have worked with some, what I'm calling loan investors for lack of a better word, but somebody who just wants to buy a home to fix up and, you know, flip it or rent it or something like that. And it is difficult. We're competing against these powerhouse investors. And this is also causing a little bit of a problem for people, first-time home buyers in that price range, because in that kind of home range, you are competing against investors who are coming to the table with cash offers, no contingencies, quick closes. And that is making it a bit difficult for first-time home buyers to get into the market here.
Without a doubt, absolutely. Are you seeing gentrification then as a result for the first-time home buyers or even the investors? Are they doing that? Are they just pushing into the more distressed areas?
Yes, absolutely. I think East Nashville was one of the first areas to quickly become associated with gentrification, but you're seeing it in different areas, the Nations over in West Nashville. You're seeing it in the Wedgewood-Houston area over near Nolensville. So yeah, really all around, you're seeing that left and right. Buchanan's Arts District, Germantown is a bit more mature now, but yeah, so many of the neighborhoods that are staples now weren't really staples 10 or 15 years ago. Yeah, we're seeing tons of change.
Yeah. Well, that was my question. How long had it take, and you know, did it take? So that's pretty quick for a whole area to turn that quickly and become so popular. I know parts of Miami actually did that as well. So it's almost unrecognizable, actually, in some parts of Miami now compared to how it was when I was growing up. So I guess, you know, Nashville's the exact same way. And, you know, maybe yeah. Gainesville will be too. Well, parts of Gainesville are. I can't say it's not like that here too, but not all.
Yeah. And I went to, you know, I grew up nearby. I went to school in Nashville proper. And it's so funny. I'll have people come back and visit me who I went to school with, and they've moved off, and they come back and they're like, what is this place? Right. they don't recognize it. It has been sent way up market in the types of shops we're getting, the types of restaurants we're getting, the type of nightlife that we're getting. And so people just don't recognize it even from 10 years ago or so.
That's interesting. Well, I was there 15 years ago, or maybe a little bit longer. And it was lovely, you know, when I was there. That was the last time I was there. I had been there before that. And so it was already kind of big then. And I can only imagine how much bigger it is now.
Oh, yeah.
It's very cool. So let's say I were someone who was offered a job there and was considering relocating there. What would you tell me about Nashville to convince me?
Well, I'd say you need to call Brandon Carver when you get to town, and he'll take you around and fix you up. You know, something that I really value, I live about 10 minutes from where I go into work every day. So that's probably something I would push on a buyer to begin with and say, are you sure you don't want to be close to work? Because when things do reopen, traffic is becoming a problem here.
Sure.
You know, jokes aside, just see what their priority is. Are you looking for yard? Are you looking for proximity to shops and restaurants? Are you looking for proximity to work? What I like to do with my buyers is I like to ride them around. Let's look at some different areas. Maybe pop in a house or two, but then just send them home to do a little research on what's important to them. And then, you know, from there, we kind of initiate the typical process, get to looking at some homes. If ever we do a big day of, you know, looking at four or five homes, at the end of the day, I always like to, hey, let's rate these. You know, if we had to make an offer today, which one of these homes would you want? Because unfortunately, if we looked at five homes on a Monday, Anna, and we touch back base on Friday to make an offer on one, we're probably four of those have sold already. Or are under contract. So time is really of the essence. And, you know, as a realtor, it can be difficult. You don't want to seem pushy to your clients, but you also want to help represent their interests in getting a home. And so it is a seller's market through and through. So just getting buyers to understand that and to get them prepared and ready to make an offer on something that they love, that's of huge importance.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's huge no matter what, whether they're local and, you know, or coming into town for the first time. It's important to understand that. They can't just wait. You can't just sit. Because if you like it, someone else likes it too.
Exactly. Well, I was just talking with a friend in Tampa. She and her husband submitted an offer on a place and they were competing against 9 offers. So, I mean, I think this is going on everywhere.
It is. It is. Well, everywhere. That's more desirable than the places that we were talking about. These humongous cities, the cities that don't have the quality of life that you can get in an area, you know, and while Tampa's more expensive than Nashville probably and Gainesville as well, or at least some parts of Tampa are, you still get, you know, the sunshine and the good weather and the ocean and all of those things, which, you don't necessarily get in Cleveland, for example. I'm not knocking Cleveland. I'm just saying, like, I've got people who do move here from there. Yeah, and that's one of the things. Yeah. You know, they have incredible culture and shopping and things like that. And we have, you know, the sun and chill. We're a little bit more chill down here. So
perspective, right?
yeah, for sure. It's all about perspective. All right. Well, let's see. So we've touched on a lot of things. Is there anything that I have not mentioned that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing that I would love to stress to anybody that's listening, I a good amount of time will run up on buyers who do not understand how the buyer representation process works. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize that it is something they need. They need a professional going to bat for them, especially in a market as competitive as Nashville right now. And a lot of people don't realize, too, that a buyer's agent's commission is actually paid by the seller of the home. And so essentially, it's a free service to a buyer. So I think it's really important for our buyers to be informed, to have somebody working for them who works in this industry and knows what should be expected in an offer. You know, a lot of, especially first-time homebuyers, don't realize there is so much more to an offer. And Anna, I'm sure you can speak to this. Okay. There is so much more to an offer than just that offer price. We've got contingencies, we've got credits, we've got just all of these things that really make up a comprehensive offer. So really my advice to anybody that would be listening today is just make sure you have good buyer's representation. Make sure that you're working with somebody who has a strong and robust history of helping buyers, one, get the properties that they want. That's the first step, especially in a market like Nashville's, but mm-hmm. also are getting properties for a fair price. Yeah, yes. I think that's hugely important.
That is huge because if it's competitive, people sometimes get desperate and they don't realize that you are actually acting on their behalf and in their best interest. And sometimes a multiple offer situation, while they may lose out on a home that they really like, it was probably for the best if they were going to overpay, you know, and that's where you come in. And also having someone who has such robust knowledge of the market, in your case, because you've grown up there. And mm-hmm. so you've seen it all. You know what's a good deal and what's not, and what areas suit the needs of that particular buyer. So I agree. For sure. It is important to have the right guide and the right counsel during that process, even if you're a seasoned home buyer.
Absolutely. It can't hurt. Even if you just use this as a second set of eyes, it cannot hurt.
It cannot hurt. Absolutely. Look, you can't do what an online search can do. You can do more. So to have that personal touch is everything. And whether they're local and looking to purchase something or relocating, it's key to have an expert guide them through the process. And yes, you know, it's a service that they don't pay for, but boy, do they benefit from. So
You got it.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Wonderful. Well, Brandon, thank you for taking time from your day. I know you're busy selling in hot Nashville. So get back to work and we'll give everybody your contact information. We'll put it in our podcast description. And then that way they'll have your email and your phone number, if that's okay, that we put your phone number out there until.
Please do. Absolutely.
Okay. Perfect. We'll have your information out there, and everybody who's considering a move to Nashville, strongly suggest you contact Brandon and get a really good feel for the local market and have him fight for you. So thank you so much, and best of luck with the hot market.
Thanks so much, Anna. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Likewise, Brandon. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Okay. Bye-bye. Thanks so much for listening today. If you like what you hear and want to learn more about real estate and hear the occasional funny story, then hit that subscribe button right now. And if you know of someone who'd benefit from listening, then tell them to subscribe too, or else they may feel a little left out. For questions, topic suggestions, or nice comments, send an email to anna@segwayre.com. We can also connect on Facebook at SegwayRE. Thanks for listening as we bring you a new way of doing real estate. Bye!